Nora C. Dodd, Director General of FAO, was one of the special speakers at the opening plenary session of IFAP in Rome. I know you'll be hearing of his comments in the press and from the delegates, but Keith Morrow, supervisor of CBC Farm and Fisheries Broadcasts, interviewed in Rome during the conference. The aims of FAO and IFAP are similar: to improve the conditions of the farmer, to improve marketing and trade, and to increase production and improve distribution. This will result in better nutrition, better clothing and homes, and thus contribute to the stability of peace in the world. That briefly was your opening statement to the IFAP delegates, Mr. Dodd. The aims certainly are the same, but what about the methods of achieving them?
Well, Mr. Morrow, you in IFAP represent people. You represent farmers. We in FAO represent governments. You, because you can express your wishes to your government, and through them to us, in the last analysis, are the ones who direct the activities of FAO. But you can see the difference, I think. You represent people, farmers. We represent the governments who represent those farmers.
So that the farmers' organization has to initiate many of these things to bring them to the attention of the government.
That is correct. That is correct.
Now, you indicated that there was some criticism of FAO for producing reports but not food when you were speaking at IFAP.
Yes, we've been accused of that. I think I could tell you of quite a few of the results that of some of the small projects we've had underway that will eventually result in more food. But as I told the committee over there, a good farmer don't go about his work blindly. He tries to learn by talking and by observation with people what his markets need, what his land can best produce, how he can most efficiently produce. Then he needs to know where he can sell his products. What we do in the FAO is a good deal what this good farmer would do, would set down to plan his whole operation. And that's what governments need to know if they're going to plan the operation for a lot of farmers.
Well, in other words, there's a certain amount of paperwork necessary in the beginning in any operation.
That is correct. That is correct.
Now, what are some of the results? I know you must have examples of improvements in living standards as well as production increases.
Well, I could tell you about a good many different things. We have some wonderful results from our livestock disease control operations, from emergency on through to the full ones. I can give you one illustration about hybrid corn. You would call it in Canada, the United States. Maize, they call it over here. We started 7 years ago talking about hybrid corn and the introduction of it to these Western European countries. I was there at the beginning. Now, we've kept a pretty good account of what FAO has put into that operation. Our total cost is about $40,000. To FAO. But what have been the results? And that's what you're interested in, and that's what farmers are interested in. This year, that is last year's crop, 1952, it's estimated that hybrid corn made additional yield to the extent of 273 or 75,000 tons over what the old type seed, the hard flint corn, would have made. Now, that's the equivalent of about $20 million, and that's a substantial. And looking at it from our standpoint, 273,000 tons of corn to people who need food is a substantial contribution.
So that from an initial outlay of $40,000.
That's correct. That's correct.
Well, this leads us into the problem of overproduction in countries such as the United States and Canada. Certainly, we're interested in producing more. That's the role of the farmer. The question of adequate returns has to be considered. FAO hasn't made much progress with commodity agreements so far.
That's correct. We've tried. I don't know that commodity agreements as such are the final answer. Taking the world as a whole, we're short of food. You have three nations in the world that perhaps you might say are surplus: Canada, United States, Australia. Perhaps you'd have to put Siam, Thailand, in that category, because they do produce more rice than they use at home, and they are export producers, to a lesser extent Burma. But it isn't because FAO hasn't been able to get agreement, haven't been able to work out commodity agreements. It's because the governments, that your government, my government, and the others, haven't been willing to accept any of the proposals that's been offered. But we're studying those We have committees working, commodity committees, doing a good job at digging out the detail. At the present moment, we have a committee on commodity problems meeting here in Rome. They'll meet again in November. They'll meet again next April. They're working on some solution for moving commodities from the places where they're plentiful to the places it's in need. And as you know, and I'm sure every farmer knows, it's a case of people not having the wherewithal to buy them. If people had money, if we had universal money, you wouldn't have any problem of a surplus of food.